Good day, this is Shane Hasty for the InfoCube Culture Podcast. I'm here with Praveet Singh Saud. Praveet, we met at QCon New York, where you gave a talk on practical empathy, unlock the superpower. But before we get into that, would you mind briefly introducing yourself for the audience?
So hi, Shane. Thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm a software developer and a team lead, mainly focusing on web technologies. I work in a company called Komplett. We are a Scandinavian-based e-commerce provider. And I work in a team of around 60 individuals. Mm-hmm. I'm a team lead amongst many on that team.
Empathy as a superpower. It was an intriguing title and a really interesting talk. What makes empathy a superpower?
Well, this has been a journey for my own self in regards to discovering empathy as a superpower. It is now how I view it. What I found is I've been through a few difficult periods in my life recently. And what I kind of realize is that empathy has been something which has helped me on a personal level in regards to overcoming misunderstandings, hard times, and also finding solutions I never knew were there. Showing empathy and also receiving empathy from others has shown me the value of how this can be life-changing as on a personal level, as a father, as a team lead. And so this is the message I'm trying to share at QCon.
Well, I suppose we could start even with, what do you mean by empathy?
Empathy, the way I have understood it and the way I see it, it's a way for us to connect on a deeper level. So as one definition, which is the one I use also in the talk, is to be able to see the world as others see it, to understand another's current feelings, to do so without showing judgment, so non-judgmentally, and be able to communicate the understanding back to them. This definition of empathy is something which has been made popular by Dr. Brené Brown. She raised this in one of her talks. It resonates with me. So it is basically the putting yourself into a place with someone else and achieving a deeper sense of communication in that moment. Mm-hmm. And from that, something else can arise, a solution, an understanding, a different perspective.
So how does that help when working within teams?
Within teams, well, let me just give a little context here. I work in a distributed team. Mm-hmm. So most of my teammates are actually in different locations from where I am. And a lot of the communication we do is through a chat, through email, less email, luckily, and Skype. Mm-hmm. So one of the first hurdles is actually written communication. And to add another layer onto that is most of us have English as a second language. Mm-hmm. So being able to communicate with our second language, which is English, through written medium can be challenging at times. And there are also different cultures in play. Mm-hmm. And basically, especially in the beginning, as you get to know people, as you try to explore with physical teams, the physically co-located teams, it's easier to read the body language, right? Easy to understand the expressions on someone's face. But you don't get all that through chat. To be able to assume good intent and understand that what people are trying to communicate their needs through the written message, it's easier than to sit on the other side and actually be able to basically not assume that someone else is trying to put you on the spot, basically, or saying something in an aggressive way. So what this kind of forces you to do is take another person's perspective, try to understand where they're coming from, and basically allow that communication towards you to be as pure as possible. And this also works the other way around. Understanding that you want to convey a message, you want to convey your intent, and writing a sentence with three words is not going to convey all your intent. It's going to convey your main message, but it's not going to convey your feelings, your needs, your desires, the context. So understanding that you need to convey a lot of information with that one request is important. This is where I feel empathy helps a lot.
Yeah, so distributed teams, lots of opportunities for misunderstanding.
Definitely. Written communication has been like a huge thing for me and for within our teams and how we communicate. But with any team, there are going to be conflicts in regards to technologies, in regards to interests, in regards to priorities. So those are there no matter what. Mm-hmm. And being able to facilitate between two others, being able to make mistakes myself, and then realizing I've gone too far or I've said the wrong thing, and backtracking and trying to get back to what actually happened, why it happened, and more focusing on how that made the other person feel. Being focused on that and then allowing a solution to come out of that has been something which has helped a lot.
Teams and teamwork. One of the things that you said when we were chatting earlier is that you're passionate about teams, teamwork, and effective team leadership. What makes a good team leader?
You may not be surprised when I say empathy is a very, very important aspect to what I think makes a good team lead. This is a journey I'm also on. It's something I'm figuring out myself as we go. And being able to listen to the people around you, being able to understand their needs and desires, as well as, you know, putting that into context of the company, of the journey we're on together as a team, and the product we're delivering. That I feel has been my main goal as a team lead. And also in the same way, being able to do so in a very humble manner. I'm lucky to be working with some amazing developers. They're really good, really smart. And understanding that you're not the smartest person in the room, you don't have all the answers, leaning on people around you, that has been kind of a core transition I've been going through from a senior I-know-it-all developer mm-hmm. to an understanding team lead, which actually respects and, well, I do respect people, I mean, that I do anyway, but actually can allow people to contribute and facilitate that people can contribute in their special way with things they know well.
One of the things we often hear is that we take the best technical person, the most senior developer, and then we put them into a leadership role and they become the worst leaders possible. How do we prevent that from happening?
I wish I had an answer for that because I see it happen. I see it happen quite a bit. But I think there's a certain assumption, right, that a highly technical qualified person will also be able to manage people. And I think this is something which is important we actually talk about in our industry and actually differentiate the importance of managing people skills, teamwork, leading people as a separate set of skills as technology and how we write our code. Just raising that discussion to that level will actually start understanding in regards to, as a senior developer, do you even want to go into management or do you even want to lead others? Because humility is an important thing, and understanding that your decisions affect other people is part of that transition. So I think raising awareness for management, for our leaders who actually promote developers, is important. So there's that. And also I think it helps when other senior developers, other team leads, talk about their transitions, talk about things that have worked for them. And there are quite a few wonderful podcasts, people sharing their stuff on blogs, books, which have helped me mm-hmm. and I think are helping others along this journey.
What is that journey? What are the transformations that you have to make when you move from being that highly skilled technical developer to a highly skilled technical developer who's now leading teams?
One of the main things which has been hard for me is understanding that I cannot solve all the problems. Mm. Because that's one of the wonderful things of being a developer is that we are problem solvers. We love to solve problems with code or with understanding or breaking down something complex problems into simple problems. We usually do that through code and through solutions. And when you're alone or when you're working, focus on certain tasks, it's easy just to spend time on that and dig into that. But when you then become a team lead, you can't afford to not be available to others mm-hmm. because you will have the opportunity to dive into code to solve problems, which is something I used to do. But I, at the same time, I need to be available for others in regards to their issues, things they're struggling with, and in general, just being available. Mm-hmm. So with this comes the concept of delegation and trust. So trusting that you need to be able to convey a message of this is what someone needs to do in regards to a story, a motivation, what the goal is, and allow someone to do the best they can based on what you convey. The result you get back isn't always what you would have done yourself. Mm-hmm. But then understanding that this is part of the process where you need to focus on how to convey that message. I mean, what you want to do. And you also have to accept what comes back and be able to correct that. So code reviews, follow-ups, just continuous communication. Basically, the communication aspect and delegation has been a huge transition for me from a senior developer to a team lead role.
One of the things that you also mentioned when we were chatting earlier was a passion about not just the work that we do, but how we do the work.
And this comes back to the more negative things which has happened to me, which I've experienced a few years ago. I was in a pretty tough situation in my private life and pretty stressful situation with work, and things just, well, it became too much, basically. And in many ways, it is very complex, and in regards to what happened and how it happened. But there are certain work-related issues which kind of bubbled up in regards to how we work, in regards to how we treat each other in our teams. And this is why I believe having people who work together in a safe environment is extremely important in regards to the end product which gets mm-hmm. delivered, as well as focusing on the end product itself, and that has to solve certain needs. So there's many layers here. You have to kind of the environment around the team should be good. The team itself needs to be able to have trust within each other. There are no guarantees, but that allows a culture of being able to do the best work you can do.
As a team lead, how do you nurture that? How do you create that space for culture to emerge?
One thing which has been really important to me is actually working with my boss, working with my other team leads, and mm-hmm. keeping that discussion going on a higher level in regards to how we work, in regards to how work comes from an idea into our development team, bringing stakeholders closer, trying to do, you know, pushing back in regards to deadlines, work in progress. A lot of them, the focus has been upwards. And that's also learning progress for me. I mean, learning something I have to learn on the way, being able to communicate effectively to senior developers, but other developers, other team leads, other people in management as well. So that is creating a safe environment has been like the main goal for me. Mm-hmm. And how that translates to every everyday work within our teams.
And what about ideas of quality and craftsmanship? How do we, as team leads, instill that in our team?
So I'm glad you brought that up specifically, because I failed to mention that earlier. And a lot of the work I do is in regards to code. Since I don't dive as deep as I used to on a day-to-day basis, what I do try to do is as much pair programming as possible. Mm-hmm. So even though we are distributed, we are luckily in the same time zone, which allows us to do quite a bit of pairing work. And this allows me also to, you know, look at the code, be able to mentor when I can, and also guide in regards to future requirements, things coming up. So I know a bit more than what things, new projects coming up, and that trickles down also in these pairing sessions. So code quality-wise, pairing and code reviews have been a huge way to transfer knowledge. We also tried to do internal, not demos, but internal small talks or lightning talks or just sharing technology. That's something we do as well. So that allows the team to actually improve code-wise. And I also learned a lot in that process.
You mentioned there a little bit about mentoring. What does it mean to be a mentor?
There's nothing I've done as a formal role, being a mentor, mm-hmm. but a mentor, the way I understand it, the way I've received mentoring before has been the informal mentorship, where someone senior to me has been available, ready to answer questions, not solving problems for me, but actually asking good questions back, being able to put things into perspective. So having that someone near you or beside you who's gone through certain experiences, who's able to share those back to you, that's been things I've been trying to do. So like I mentioned, the other developers on our team are really good. And so on certain levels, they're better than I am. So I can't improve everything they do on a code by code base. What I can do is I can see patterns. What I can do is I can see how things relate to each other, especially things around naming, things about putting things into context. This is where I feel I help as a mentor, being able to give this kind of context information to them, so they are allowed to make better decisions themselves. And also there's one more thing, which, as I mentioned, it is a learning experience. So a lot of knowledge comes back to me in regards to where the code is going, how we're doing in regards to issues we're having. All these small things come up in these caring sessions, basically.
Anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
We spoke briefly about empathy, and I don't think we've actually been able to dig deep enough into the value of empathy. I think it makes sense to share an example which has really made a huge difference within our teams. Mm-hmm. So one thing which we struggled with is we have the development process, which then ends up in a QA process. Mm-hmm. And these were two distinct processes before. So devs did their work and they were done when the code was in master and hit production. Mm-hmm. Development. And then the QA process took over. From a developer perspective, we were done. But the code wasn't in production. No stakeholder had seen it. And we had no idea how it actually worked. So one thing we did was to bring our QA process into the teams. And that's something which actually was painful, because developers didn't want to do QA. Mm. Sure, they can test a few things, but they weren't interested. And it is a different skill set. But there are certain things we can do to improve our skill sets as developers in regards to testing our code, testing our solutions. And what we did was actually we paired with our QA, and we actually did QA sessions with them. And this was a revelation for many of us, because what we discovered is when you took a story as a QA, all you could see was a blank how to test, and then maybe a one-line description of what the code actually did or what the task was. And what we saw was that, wow, they're doing amazing work based on nothing, based on very little communication. And so what happened is we kind of realized that there's a lot of calls were being made from our QA in the middle of development because they didn't understand what the work they need to do was. And when we understood that through this, not only did we become better testers of our own code, we also understood the value of conveying more information with our tasks, what we're doing. And basically, it improved our entire flow. It improved the product flow, and it improved the focus of the team. It allowed us to focus on the next level, which was actually what are we delivering and not how we're delivering it. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, put into contact with their stakeholders. So empathy has a huge value in regards to, you know, to breaking down boundaries, to understanding another side. So it's like every time there's some kind of conflict, and every time there's some kind of misunderstanding or others, it's us versus them, dev and QA, QA and our stakeholders, or however we feel there's a misunderstanding there. Showing empathy, taking the other side's perspective, having those hard conversations, that's where I felt a lot of the value is with empathy. It's from that you can discover new solutions. It's from that you can understand the needs of other people and basically do better work as a result.
Pavneet, thank you very much. Really interesting and inspiring thoughts.
Thanks for having me, Shane. I'm glad I can spread the message of empathy and the value of it. I hope it's something others also can embrace.